This month I caught up with Noala, and she's written a superb feature on GI brides for us, and it ties in with her book on the subject that's published through HarperCollins. Now, she's got a personal link to the subject herself, in that her grandmother, Margaret Denby, married a GI. It was a story, though, that Noala explained only came to light in Margaret's later years, and was a family secret up to that point.
Yeah, that's right. When I was growing up, the man I knew as my grandfather was her second husband. But over time, I kind of became aware that there'd been another grandfather before him. And although there were no pictures of this first grandfather in the family albums, there were always these black and white photographs of mysterious American cousins, and I could never work out exactly who they were. And there was this kind of unspoken rule in our family that you just didn't bring up this first marriage, and you didn't talk about it, and you let everyone assume that my grandmother's second husband was the real grandfather. And it was only really once he died that my grandmother began breaking that family taboo and started to talk about her first marriage to an American GI called Lawrence Rambo.
Okay.
And I began interviewing her shortly before her death last year.
You know, one thing that amazes me about the whole story is the sheer scale of what we're talking about. It's quite astonishing to think that there's around 70,000, I think, war brides. It's quite a significant number.
Yeah, that's right. I believe it's the biggest single migration of women in such a short time span in American history. But I guess when people talk about the friendly invasion, they sometimes forget, you know, the sheer numbers of GIs who were here in the war. By D-Day, there were about 2 million Americans in the country, which is a really considerable number, and inevitably there were going to be lots of romances. You know, the GIs were famously overpaid, oversexed, and overhere, and many of those did lead to marriages.
And so what was the attraction of these guys? And I gather they had some pretty decent dance moves, among other things.
Yeah, they brought with them the jitterbug, which seemed like an incredibly modern and even risque dance compared to all the waltzes and old-fashioned dances people had been doing here before. And, you know, don't forget, British girls had been starved of male company because most eligible young men were fighting abroad. And, you know, they'd gone through three dreary years of rationing and blackout. And when the Americans arrived, I think they kind of brought this aura of glamour with them, because people had only ever seen Americans in the movies. So they had that kind of Hollywood aura about them. They also looked brilliant, just because their uniforms were a better quality and cut than the British Tommies. And they were comparatively, you know, rolling in money, because they were paid five times what the British privates were paid. So they could really afford to take women out and splash out on them on dates.
So obviously the ladies were really impressed, but maybe their families weren't quite so impressed, stealing their daughters away from them. It must have caused a few family rifts along the way and
that
kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think parents were quite cautious to begin with about the Americans, because there was this stereotype of the three O's. But also they were probably aware that, you know, if the relationship became serious, it meant their daughters going to the other side of the world, you know, and at a time when, you know, most people wouldn't be able to afford a ticket over to visit them. It might mean saying goodbye for years or perhaps forever. And as a result, some families went to quite extreme lengths to break couples up. One prospective war bride's parents offered her fiancé money to break off their relationship. And others we spoke to, her parents burned her boyfriend's letters to make her believe that he hadn't written to her.
Oh, really? Mm. And those original wedding ceremonies, they're not quite as glamorous as you might expect. I think I've heard about you saying that one of the ladies there had a wedding dress made up of old parachute material.
Yeah, that was quite common, because obviously dress material was rationed. It was very difficult to get hold of enough
not so
to make
romantic.
A wedding dress. No, and what people would do would be to, if there was blood or, you know, dirt on this material, they would just bleach it out and, you know, it looked great as a wedding dress. But, I mean, many women got married in borrowed or rented dresses. That's just what you had to do. And, you know, they had to make do without the wedding cake. Lots of them had a cardboard wedding cake standing in for the real thing on the table.
Right.
Yeah.
So quite a stripped down affair then, because time was of the essence, I guess, with a lot of these things.
It was, yeah.
So after the war then, it wasn't that easy to reunite the couples. I gather that a group of women actually marched on the US Embassy in London, demanding ships over to the States to get back together with their husbands.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, at the end of the war, the American army had this problem on its hands that it had 70,000 British GI brides wanting to join their men. But obviously, their priority was getting the soldiers home first. And the brides started to be termed wallflower wives by the press. Okay. And the issue erupted with war bride protests at the US Embassy in London. And when Eleanor Roosevelt visited the capital in November 45, her hotel was actually besieged by a mob of brides and their babies waving placards with slogans like "We demand ships" and "We want our dads."
Wow. And the US Congress eventually intervened, didn't they? And they passed a law to sort out the separated couples.
Yeah, eventually they passed the War Brides Act, which gave the women non-quota immigration status, which meant they could enter the country without a visa and they could travel at the US Army's expense. And a fleet of ships was assigned to the Operation War Bride, including some of the requisitioned luxury liners like the Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth, which the US Army had been using.